check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga Deep Discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.
Aloha, it's Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing writer Mark Russell. He is here to promote some of his recent works from Ahoy Comics magazine. We're going to talk about his amazing work on Serial. It's an Ahoy Comics graphic novel and the profound and very touching Second Coming Trinity. Now, this is the third volume in this series. The trade paperback came out just, I want to say probably last week or just recently. And also the fun short story that he wrote in Project Krypton. Mark, welcome to the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And aloha, everybody.
Yes. Mark, just thank you very much. You know, thank you for coming back on. Listeners, Mark has been on. This is his third time he's been on. The first two times he's been on with Bryce Ingram and Peter Cross. They talked about My Bad. And I'm going to put you on the spot. If My Bad Volume 3 comes out, can I bring you guys back on again?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. Now, Mark, today's interview, we will be focusing on your work at Ahoy Comics. Now, there are some other comics that you have worked on. Is there any other works that you want listeners to check out? Because I know you wrote some stuff for DC, Marvel, Dynamite.
I'll just give a quick shout out to Superman Space Age, which I did with Mike Allred.
Yes.
Which is currently out in its collected form. And also Rumpus Room, which is currently being released in issues by AWA. Those are probably my two latest non-Ahoy titles.
Okay, that's right. Yes, that's right. And then didn't you also, I'm sorry, I'm kind of going off the cuff because I want to just focus on the Ahoy comics. Also, too, you wrote on, was it another AWA comic about Mars or something?
I'm writing, Traveling to, that's another one. That's Traveling to Mars, which is actually on Ablaze. AWA, but yeah, that and I'm very proud of that. I'm extremely proud of that. It's in its issue number 10 of 11 is about to drop. But if you haven't had a chance to check that out yet, I think it's one of the absolute best things I've ever written.
Sorry, off the cuff for listeners, can you just kind of what is the story about on that one?
Traveling to Mars is about the first manned mission to Mars, and the first person who gets sent to Mars gets sent because he's terminally ill, mm-hmm. so they don't have to worry about bringing him back. Mm-hmm. So the whole story is kind of told on the way to Mars in terms of through his journals, and it's all about his regrets on life and what he, and all the things he wishes he could have done now that he's on a one-way trip to Mars and he knows he's never coming back, and all the people he wishes he could have said goodbye to and stuff, which it sounds like a real downer, but it's actually very hopeful. And so I feel like it was a rare opportunity for me to write a story the way I just really wanted to write it, to just let it sort of percolate, mm-hmm. and not worry about like how long it was going to be or worry about like cliffhangers or anything mm-hmm. like that at the end of the issues. And I'm just very happy with it. It was amazing art by Roberto Melli, an Italian artist. So I really hope people will check that one out.
All right. Mark, thank you very much. Now, before we begin the interview, I want to give a big shout out to Hannah Bahedri of Superfan Promotions for setting up this interview. And Hannah, thank you very much for doing that. And also, too, I want to say thank you very much, Hannah, for providing me with advanced reading copies. Mark, I'm going to ask, would you like to add anything to that?
No, Hannah, I've worked with Hannah a lot, and she's been a publicist for working with Ahoy for a long time, and she's always just been extremely helpful and really, and I think she just genuinely is enthusiastic about the comics, which helps a lot when you get somebody who actually believes in what they're doing. And I couldn't be more grateful for all the work she's done for us.
All right, no, thank you very much. All right, Mark, where can listeners follow you on social media, or do you have a website?
I do have a website, markrussellbooks.com. And also on social media, I'm mostly on Threads and Blue Sky these days. So look me up at Manrus on both of those.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much. So let's just jump right in. Let's just start talking about Serial. Now, for listeners, what is this original graphic novel about?
This is about the serial monsters, or at least a intellectual property free version of the serial monsters that they're used to. So I'm not writing about Count Chocula. Mm-hmm. I'm writing about the Marquis de Coco, or you get where I'm going.
Yes.
But it's about what if these serial monsters lived in sort of an Edgar Allan Poe universe. Mm-hmm. Or like a Game of Thrones type universe built on heartbreak and betrayal.
Yes.
And it's darkly funny, but it's also, I think, very serious and dramatic, because it deals with issues of like at what point does somebody become a monster? Mm-hmm. Because they all start out as human characters and then slowly are transmuted into monsters. Mm-hmm. So what is that process like? When do you lose your humanity? Mm-hmm. And is it possible to get it back? Mm-hmm. Which sounds maybe like really pretentious for a comic book about serial characters, but mm-hmm. you know, that's the way I roll.
I have to say it's very good. And then was there a specific reason why your story took place like in the 17th or 18th century? I love the time period. I really do. It's great. But was there a specific reason why you wanted to write in that time period?
Well, weirdly, a lot of the serial characters seem to be from like, you know, like an earlier era, like vampires, you know, Count Chocula.
Yeah.
Like sort of dressed in like sort of the Bram Stoker, like sort of Victorian dress. Mm-hmm. And of course, Captain Crunch is like like an Age of Wood and Sail style mm-hmm. captain. So I wanted it to like be set in sort of an earlier time. So it's mm-hmm. more of a 19th century, the Quaker from Quaker Oats, again, another sort of 19th century figure.
Oh, yes.
And the Lucky Charms leprechaun. So they all, weirdly, the serial characters, mascots, all seem to like have this sort of pseudo-Victorian or you know, like 19th to 18th century dress style. So I thought I would just lean into that and set it in that era.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. And then, you know, like, now listeners, you know, what I love about this original graphic novel was that there's a number of chapters. It, you know, like you'll focus on Count Coco or some, or you know, the first one, and it is slow, and then you see Franken. I'm trying to think of the character's name in the book. Franken Barry or something. Yes.
Yeah, and he's a nobleman, so he's his name is Franken Sherry.
Yes.
He's the Duc de Sherry.
Yes, and you know, was that? Did you guys? Did you in like? Was that when? Was that how you presented that to Ahoy Comics, or did they come up to you? Go, you know, can you? You know, we want to have this done. Can you do this? You know, how did they choose the format? That's what I'm saying. How did you guys decide on the format?
Well, this one was a little weird in the sense that we didn't talk about it as a complete project. We never discussed it as a complete project. Originally, they had hired me to write one story, the first chapter, to go with their Edgar Allan Poe Snifter of Terror anthology series. And at the time when I wrote the first chapter, I thought, well, this is all I'll ever write of this. This is one and done. And but it got a good response and they really liked it, so they asked me to begin writing more to be serialized with the Edgar Allan Poe series. So then I had to think, well, I now got to come up with a story as a central narrative for these characters. And that's when the story really started taking shape. And then after the Edgar Allan Poe series was canceled, they said, well, we still want to know the whole story. So I wrote an additional three or four chapters after that to sew it all up, and that was so we could release it as a graphic novel. So it was really kind of written in three different stages. The story was conceived in three different stages, which is very unusual.
But I have to say, it's I love it because it's all these little stories. I love it because it's like you focus on each character, and I'm going to say it wasn't until the third story that I read. I can't even think of who either the third or fourth story about. I think when we started to talk about the Lucky Charms character,
Yeah, I think the
that I
third one's where the leprechaun shows up.
yes,
The
and
leprechaun.
then I start to realize these stories are interconnected, and I loved it. It was great, and then yeah, like I said, I just really loved it. I'm gonna ask now. I know you already mentioned about the that these are based on breakfast characters. You guys could play around with it. I'm just asking, did Ahoy Comics have to send some type of letter, to the cereal companies, hey,
I don't know exactly how they handled this, but I think we're pretty well covered under parody. We're not
Okay.
using the actual likenesses or the
Yeah.
names of the characters. And so I think we're pretty safely covered under like parody rules, and also, the fact that we're not like infringing on the visual appearance
Yes.
copyright of these characters.
And then the other thing I also love about too is that the story, there are little tidbits of little funny puns in there, like oh my God, don't cross the army of General Mills or something. But also too, this what I also loved about the story too, that it's also very it's a story that's very it's a story that takes itself seriously too. I love it that it's like an action adventure story. I love it. It kind of had it's almost sort to me, it feels like in the same vein of, almost like sort of like a Three Musketeers thing. And also too, what was surprising too was that there's also a love story too in here as well. That I thought was really great.
Yeah, I think whenever I'm writing a story, one, I want to write it as though this is incredibly serious for the characters involved, because it is. As far as they know, this is the actual universe. So I try to take them as seriously as they take themselves. And also, it's hard to write a story without drawing upon the most common and important human experiences. And one of those is falling in love, or having people that you care about. And to me, that's far more meaningful to write a story that's about these sorts of things, or about wanting the things that we can all sort of relate to people wanting, than just to have them, battling or casting spells on each other or whatever.
Yes, and the other thing too, I also too is that what I love about this that I could relate to the characters. I really could relate to the characters, and that was very good. Now I'm going to ask your artists, how did you and Peter, I'm not going to butcher.
Mayberg.
Okay, how did you guys team up for this book?
Well, that was really Ahoy's doing. He had done some work, I think, before for Ahoy, so they were familiar with him. I wasn't terribly familiar with his work, but when he did the initial drawings for the very first issue, I just thought he nailed it on the head, which is really kind of a hard thing to do considering he's Danish, so he didn't grow up with these serial monsters. And initially there was, some differences, and I had to sort of say, well, the Frankenberry character is actually pink. He's not green, but after, a few initial conversations like that, just so he could get the appearance of these characters right, he really, I think, leaned into the tonality. And I think it actually helped him that he didn't have a lot of personal experience with these characters, because he was able to like sort of lean into what I was trying to do with this story, as this was completely understandable and believable to him. He wasn't trying to make them like somebody else who was familiar with these characters might try to like hue more closely to their original form.
Yes, that I see, because Toucan from Fruit Loops. I mean, when he draws the toucan in the second story, there's similarities, but it's not a spot on, where, okay, yeah, I see, yeah, he's
Right.
bright color, bright red, or it's just no,
And
he.
part of that is, for legal reasons, but part of it also is that this is just a different universe. And so I wanted the looks to sort of reflect that the appearances, like this is not as bright and cheerful and
Yes.
universe. This is much more of a dark and somber world.
All right. And then now, do you want to give out shout outs to other members of the creative team on this graphic novel?
Well, I think that Peter did oh yeah, here's I think Peter did the coloring too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he
So
did. He did for most of the stories, yes.
really the creative team is the two of us, and I forgot who did the lettering. So
What
unfortunately,
is Rob Steen?
Rob, that's probably, I think you're right, Rob Steen. So sorry, Rob. But yeah, Rob and Peter are pretty much the creative team.
Okay. And then also too, you have an introduction done by Shannon Wheeler. How did you get Shannon to do an introduction on this book?
Well, initially, and it's not that we didn't want Shannon to do it. Shannon's a good friend of mine, and I'm always, I'm a huge fan of his work. He's one of the, I think, the greatest cartoonists working in America today. And but initially, we had asked Marie Javens, the editor in chief at DC Comics, to write it, because she was the one who tapped me for writing for DC, and is the reason why I have a career in comics, based upon the strength of my Count Chocula fan fiction that I was posting on Facebook. So I thought it would make perfect sense for her to write the intro. And she was down for it. She wanted to do it, but there were legalities because she's works for DC, and she wouldn't be able to talk about, my work there. So it just became, it wasn't going to be as fun as we thought it was going to be for her to try to do this. So she handed it off to Shannon, who she's also really good friends with. And so Shannon wrote the intro, but yeah, Shannon and I go way back. Shannon and I go back to before, I was even in comics. We did a couple of books together, where he'd draw cartoons and I basically just wrote prose books. And most notably, a retelling of the Bible we did called God Is Disappointed in You. So in a lot of ways, this book, the serial book, really does harken back. It is sort of a nod back to the very beginning of my writing career, both because these are the stories that got me recognized as a potential comic book writer, and also because Shannon wrote the intro and he worked on my very first book with me.
Thank you very much, Mark. Now, fun question. What was your favorite cereal growing up?
Weirdly, it was a Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So none of the ones in the book.
That's pretty funny. Listeners, also, I'm not gonna spoil this, Mark, but because there's also a couple other unexpected serial characters that make little cameos, and it took me a little while to forget. So listeners, please check out Serial, this graphic novel from Ahoy Comics. It's It's a great read. It is. Now, Mark, I'm going to move on. Project Cryptid. You wrote a short story in Project Cryptid, number one, Ballroom of Death. This issue is already out in stores. So listeners, if you guys get a chance, please check this out. If you love these, you know, these weird mythological creatures, this is so cool. Mark, what is your story about in the Ballroom of Death?
It's a Yeti story set on Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. And it's about the growing tourist industry on Mount Everest, and about these Sherpas that have to haul some American CEO up Mount Everest, mm-hmm. and they encounter a Yeti. I don't want to say too much more than that.
Yes.
That would be telling.
Yeah.
But it's basically a Yeti story that cross pollinates with the story of Mount Everest over tourism.
That's right. Yes. That's a very good point. And I'm going to ask, how did you get involved with the project?
They asked me. I am a long-standing alumnus of Ahoy Comics. I've done many with them, so I feel like I'm a natural person to go to when they're doing one of these anthologies. And apparently, they do too, because Ahoy readers tend to know my work, and they're just a lot of fun. I don't think there's a lot of people. I think one of the really valuable things about Ahoy, one of the things that separates them from other comic book companies, there's not a lot of comic book publishers that are actually making funny comics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's hard. One, it's hard to do. It's hard to write something that's actually funny. And two, it's, I think it just sort of is a change of pace in an era that's more dominated by sort of grim, dark, and horror and macabre comics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, all the more reason why it's so badly needed to have a publisher that's sort of zigging while everyone zags, that's mm-hmm. doing sort of like humor first comic. And it's one of the reasons why I love working with Ahoy, because it allows you to work in a different flavor than other publishers.
Yes, I really agree. Now, you mentioned this story, The Ballroom of Death, it deals with a Yeti. How much research did you do for this short story?
Oh, almost none. I mean, I sort of was basing it on like things I had read before about tourism on Mount Everest and how it's sort of destroying Mount Everest. Most of the research I did was just finding pictures of realistic like tents and mm-hmm. what Sherpas would be wearing, mm-hmm. what somebody who was climbing Mount Everest might be wearing. Mm-hmm. But it took me all of like, I think, 3 minutes to find some good pictures online to like download to send to son of the artist, Jordi Perez, which, you know, I'm sure would have been fine without these pictures, but, mm-hmm. But yeah, not a lot. It was more sort of just me riffing on the premise.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fun question. Do you like to watch these Finding Bigfoot or these documentaries on these cryptid? You know,
I used to when I was a kid. When I was a kid, one of my favorite shows was In Search Of, hosted by Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And they would do one about the Loch Ness Monster, one about Bigfoot. And I found them kind of terrifying.
Yes.
Which is, I think, why I kept coming back. So it was like the closest thing as a kid I remember to like watching like a horror movie or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not one of these, you know, History Channel, you know, aliens built the pyramid. Guys.
No, but I mean, I understand, because for me, you know, I love watching in the 70s the Sun production of the Bigfoot movies, you know, the over dramatic narration of, you know, Mrs. Sun in 1952 was sitting in her, you know, living room, and some arm broke through her window, and you know, they'll be talked there. Oh yes, I remember that night. It was very clear, you know, something. And those were like fun movies to watch, because it was just rated G, you know, and it was just the whole idea of some mysterious creature. It's one of the rare chances you'll ever see. But then it's also kind of funny too, because like growing up, now that, you know, I'm older, it's the funny thing is that it's, you know, okay, like the Yeti, I still remember seeing pictures of the, you know, like they found a footprint, a big footprint of the Yeti's footprint in the snow, but it's only just one print. You know, like, don't they walk on two legs? You know?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Before I continue on to your next Ahoy comic book series, the first issue of Project Cryptid launched a 13-part prose short story called Partially Naked Coming the Corpse. Each chapter is going to appear in every Ahoy comic book that started back in September, and I think it's going to be wrapping up soon. I know each chapter is written by a different writer. The first chapter was written by Grant Morrison. Mark, I'm just going to ask you this. And I'll be honest, I want to find time to read this. I just haven't found the time. I'm going to ask, have you read any of these chapters yet?
I've read them all. I really like the project. I think it's fun, and I've always wanted to work with Grant Morrison, so this is kind of my chance.
Yeah.
It's a really fun idea, and I think one of the good things about Ahoy that ties into their slogan, Expect More, is that they don't just do comics. They also have sort of prose backups, which yes. Is sort of a really cool wrinkle that you don't get from most other publishers. And this was, I think, one of the more interesting sort of prose things they've done.
It is. And I'm going to say, I really have to find time to read these. All right, Mark, let's go into your next Ahoy comic book series. The trade paper just came out, Second Coming Trinity. Just for new listeners, you know, what is Second Coming about before we jump into the third volume?
Second Coming tells the story of the return of Jesus Christ to the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. It's his literally a second coming. But to keep him from getting into trouble like he did the first time, God makes him share an apartment with the world's greatest superhero, mm-hmm. thinking that the world's greatest superhero will rub off on Jesus and show him how to really like rule the earth. But it actually kind of works the opposite way. Jesus begins sort of showing the superhero how limited violence is as a solution to the world's problems, and how really most of the world's problems and most of what makes life bearable on earth is sappy things like compassion and forgiveness and empathy for other people.
Yes.
And so it really is a story. It's sort of an odd couple story, but it's an odd couple story about how we've sort of lost our way by thinking that we could run a society based on revenge and bribery and violence, and about how we really need to change. We really need to find some other basis upon which for our relationships if we're going to survive.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is this third volume of the series about?
The third volume tells the story of Sunstar, the superhero, and his wife, Sheila, having a child. And the child has superpowers, which is, a nightmare. Because, try babysitting a kid with super strength who can fly. And they hire Jesus to babysit a little bit, and Jesus can't handle him. Mm-hmm. Sunstar's grandmother, who babysat him when he was a kid, they bring her in to lend a hand, and he's too much for her. So it really is about like to what extent you are willing to place your own sort of family and your own interests and your own ambitions above the safety of everyone else. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is probably the best series yet in the Second Coming canon. So I hope people will check it out. I think it's even okay if you want to just start at Second Coming Trinity and then work your way backwards. Yes. I think that's fine too. Mm-hmm. I really hope people check it out because I feel like this is some of the best writing I've ever done.
And I'm going to, before I put my comments in there, you've already read my comments, but can I ask, may I ask if the Sunstar storyline kind of parallels the Superman stories in recent years? Because I think in the last 10 years, he has a son.
Yeah, and it's not really so much based upon the recent Superman stuff, although you're right, there is definitely a parallel. It is very, borrowed from the Superman origin story, about him being sent from a dying planet to this Earth, and it's sort of like this volume sort of asks the question, well, what would it have been like to have had, like, really have been like to have had a super child
Yes.
on in, like, in Smallville or on Earth? What would that, how terrifying would that have been for Ma and Pa Kent and the people of Smallville?
Oh my God, I'm going to say that's right, because I'm going to say, because, I've been a long time Superman fan. I've read the comics when Kurt Swan was drawing it, and I forgot that in Superman Action 500, where they completely tell the origin of Superman up until that point in the 80s, and I forgot that that's right, because there are scenes where he, like, they find, Ma and Pa can't find this baby. Oh my God, let's take him in. And all of a sudden it's like, he's lifting up the crib with one hand.
Yeah, and how do you deal with the someone with the brain of a child, but with the strength of, like, a silverback gorilla?
And that's right, I forgot all about that, because in the 80s, I think when John Byrne, and I'm not knocking John Byrne or any of the recent creators, but I forget, because I think some of the writers, when they take over Superman or the origin, is that I think they start having his powers kind of like come about when he's a teenager,
Yeah, which is, yeah, sort of a cop out, but I can understand why they do it, because it just seems like so implausible that you would be able to, like, rein in the super baby.
Yes. Now, I'll be honest, Mark, like I said, you've read my what I wrote in the script here. I'll be honest, listeners, I've never read the first two volumes of Second Coming, because it, man, let's be honest, I'm trying to be a good Christian. And I really fail at that. And I was a little hesitant at first, but reading this volume, I enjoyed it. I know I want to point out there are some laugh out cringeworthy moments, such as Sunstar. He goes back to his home, in the countryside, and he and today it's back then when he was growing up, it was a home for him. It was a nice home for him. When he goes back today, it's a sex shop, that used to be his home. I found that kind of funny. But I
Yeah,
also,
it's what happens, I think, to, I mean, not that all of our homes turn into sex shops, but, it's like you can't go home again. You're the childhood home that you have these sort of idyllic memories of. Once they are out of your family's hands, once, it's like anything happens to them. And it's really about, like, how your nostalgia is kind of built upon this lie that, like, once the world moves on without you, the things that you remember as a child are, they've moved on too.
Yes. And I was go and you know what I was thinking of too is that movie theaters. Because, like, and I'm sure in your hometown, because even on Oahu, we've had some movie theaters where in the 50s, I'm sure they were playing, great class, first run classical movies of, Cary Grant or something like that. But that was like in the 50s when they opened up. But then in the 70s, then they start to turn to like then they start to show X-rated movies, because new theaters start to pop up in different locations, and how else can you try to still maintain your business as a movie
Yeah,
theater?
architecture, changes with the times, just like people do.
Yes. The other thing I also too, and like I said, what I love about this volume too is that there are very touching moments, and I love this scene where Mary is saying goodbye to Jesus, and she says that, at first when they were raised, her and Joseph were raising Jesus, that they're worried about his powers and what he might do to them. And she tells him, but you grew up to be a good man. And then she also says too, no, and this is before Jesus starts going on his own. It's like, so now, quote, so now I worry about what the world will do to you. I thought that was very powerful, Mark.
I think that's what, we go through as parents, and also as people. You worry about your children, you worry about people you care about. But at some point, the you you know as you mature, your worry gets to be about the world. And I think that this is what, when you're really are maturing, when you are you know, your umbrella of concern, your umbrella of love and caring is bigger than just the people immediate in your life. I think this is how we need to mature as a society if we're going to survive. And that's sort of the level of, you know, that's why how Mary goes through. It's like she realizes that her concern for her child was temporary, that the child will grow up, the child will be okay, but the concern for the world that the child lives in will never go away.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I'm also going to say this too before I continue on, is that the other thing I love about this volume is that for me, it makes me stop and think how my walk with the Lord is, because there's some scenes, oh my God, I love it. It's great because it, and Mark, don't take this the wrong way, but it pierces your heart. It makes you stop and think, going, whoa, how's my walk with the Lord? You know,
sure.
It's very good. So, you know.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask, you know, please feel free to give shout-outs to, you know, members of your creative team, you know, for on
yeah,
second.
Well, I will definitely, because, you know, I co-created the series with Richard Pace, who mostly does cover work now, but he's been a big part of the creative, you know, vision behind this. And Leonard Kirk, who does most of the interior art now, is like just been remarkable. I think, you know, he's taken some incredibly hard subject matter to draw and draw convincingly. And he's imbued with a lot of heart and humanity. And then Christopher Chuckery, who does the colors, you know, it's, I think that, you know, they've all done an amazing job on this.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to ask, if I remember correctly from, I think our last interview, when I interviewed you guys for My Bad, you mentioned there's going to be a fourth volume. Is that correct? Is there going to be a fourth volume, a second coming?
Yes. In fact, I've already written two of the issues, and we're going to dive into that starting in January.
Oh, nice. That is nice. Mark, I'm going to start wrapping things up because you already talked about what you love about working with Ahoy Comics. You know, I'm just going to move into I'm just slowly wrapping this up. When is your next convention appearance or store appearance? In December of this year, or in 2024?
Well, my next one is actually going to be in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I'm doing CCXP in Sao Paulo the end of November and beginning of December. Mm-hmm. So I think it's November 29th through December 3rd.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, any closing words to our listeners?
Yeah, I would just like to thank everybody for listening to me drone on. And also, you know, if you haven't already, please take a chance on some Ahoy Comics. I mean, other than my own comics, which I strongly believe in, I think it's one of the few publishers where you really just can't go wrong. Like, all their titles are very strong. You know, Wrong Earth, Snelson, Happy Hour, just a few. My Bad, if I can toot my own horn a little. And you know, I think that these are all like really worth reading. And I'm just really grateful to be able to write as much for them as I have been.
Mark, mahalo. Thank you in Hawaiian for your time and giving me another opportunity to interview. Mark, just thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Well, mahalo to you. It's been fun.
I wish you continued success with Ahoy Comics. You know, I know you work for other publishers, but, you know, like, you know, I just want to say just continued success with Ahoy Comics. I also want to thank Hannah of Superfan Promotions for setting up this interview. And thank you for the advanced reading copies. Thank you very much, Hannah. Now, if you are a new comic book reader or a lifelong comic book reader, please check out Serial. I love this book because it was unexpectedly sweet, yes, pun intended, surprise, that is filled with great characterizations and a story that feels like a sweeping adventure that's filled with danger and romance. Project Cryptid, issue number one, Mark's short story in that one. It's a fun story to read, and I love the ending. I'm not giving the ending away, but I love the ending on that. Second Coming Trinity is a very moving and very touching story about a parent's love for their child. And as a Christian, I really found that it's very thought-provoking. And again, it made me think about how my walk with the Lord is. And Mark, I'm going to be serious. I'm being serious. Now, listeners, and as Mark has mentioned too, you know, take a chance on Ahoy Comics. And if you have a friend who loves comics, you know, please pick up Serial, the graphic novel, you know, Second Coming, Trinity Trade, or My Bad Trade. And, you know, give them as a, like either a Christmas or a birthday bundle present. I've read some of the Ahoy Comics. I love it. It is fun. And the other thing I love about it, too, is that it has heart to the stories. That's what I love about it. I want to thank Drew, the co-host of Comics for Fun and Profit, for putting this episode together. Drew, thank you very much for all your hard work behind the scenes. And if you are a new listener, please check out new episodes of Comics for Fun and Profit that comes out every Saturday. And I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next time, guys. Aloha.
RLCS is Cowabunga Comics, Lake Country, Wisconsin's best pop culture destination for new comics, back issues, gaming, retro video games, vinyl, and figures. Give them a call, 262-569-9999. Check them out online at cowabungacomics.com or follow them on Twitter at Incredical. They are RLCS. And we utilize their deep discount mail order service to bring Oconomowoc, Wisconsin closer to us. They'll take care of you. Tell them Drew and Kyle sent you. Say hi to Eric and James from us. If you need an LCS, you can't go wrong with Cowabunga Comics.